Pastor Ray Bentley with an exciting reality of the life of faith.
God gave Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants and the Jewish people, he gave them his glory. God wants to manifest his glory. God's everywhere. We don't see him everywhere since the world has fallen. But there are times and places where God reveals himself, manifests his glory, lets us be able to behold him and see him.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The power of God and spectacle of the eternal realm can seem so far away, way up there in heaven. But in reality, the eternal affects the temporal every day. It surrounds us, even though we don't see it. Today, Pastor Ray brings an intriguing story of a time when the invisible became visible.
Let us open our Bibles to Acts chapter 7, and we're going to just tell the story of Stephen, who is the first martyr of the church. The title of the message is The Crown of Glory. We mentioned how the name Stephen means crown. And this is the first brother in Christ that gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to read through the whole chapter 7. I'll just make a few brief comments along the way, because the one preaching tonight, you're going to hear personally the ministry of the gospel through your brother Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Amen? So I've got little highlights that we'll kind of go through and break this down. The first one is the people had forgotten their own spiritual roots. Stephen has been arrested. He is now brought before the same council, Sanhedrin, that had tried and then tortured and then killed Jesus. Peter and John have been brought before them. They were beat up, thrown in prison, then told, don't preach anymore in his name, but let go. But now Stephen is brought before them, and this young man begins to preach a message of Jesus that is so full of fire. Imagine this, preaching a message that by the end of the message, your face shines like an angel. How many of you would love to have that? Amen? So he begins chapter 7, verse 1. It says, then the high priest said, are these things so? They had brought accusations against Stephen. He's against the Moses. He's against the law. He's against the temple. And he said, brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land I will show you. And then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans, which is modern-day Iraq, and he dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, so he waited for his father to die, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. So Stephen is preaching to his own Jewish brethren, and God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession, and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. So they would be brought into Egypt. He's giving Abraham his future. By the way, when you come to trust in God as your father, he gives you your future. How many of you would love to know your future? We have a good father. It's going to be all right. I'll be with you. And the nation to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Anybody that messes with you, your family, your tribe, God's going to judge them. I say, thank you, Lord. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. So this is great. Stephen begins with the Jewish history. It all started with our father Abraham. They love being able to say, we are the sons of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he gives them all of this. So Stephen's address begins with the glory of God. And by the time he gets finished, we go to the God of glory. I love how they were accusing him, "You're preaching against Moses." But by the end, it was Moses' face who was shining with the glory of God. And now Stephen's face is shining with the glory of God. It was like God saying, "No, Stephen's more like Moses than all the rest of you put together." So why? Why this glory? Why the call of Abraham? God gave Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants and the Jewish people, he gave them his glory. God wants to manifest his glory. God's everywhere. But his manifest glory, we don't see him everywhere since the world has fallen. But there are times and places where God reveals himself, manifests his glory, lets us be able to behold him and see him. So Stephen is giving to them that history. And ultimately, he's going to lead now to the glory that was revealed through Jesus Christ. But Abraham was saved by grace, through faith. Because as Stephen says, he wasn't saved because he was circumcised or because he would later, his people, be given the law or that he worshiped in a temple. But Abraham was saved by his simple faith in the power of God and the presence of God and the promise of God. So if you're a child of Abraham, you believe that you have salvation, a relationship with him based on your simple faith and his goodness and his character and grace. Amen? All right, so let's go on. He continues in verses 9 through 36. And as he goes on into his next point, the biblical pattern of first rejection and then finally acceptance. This is a prophetic pattern. And it was in the history of Israel, and it's also even in our own lives. Many times when God begins to do something new, we reject whatever new thing God wants to say or what God wants to do. But we have a way of, you know, those who are really his children, taking a second look at it. And by the time we think about it and allow the Holy Spirit to convict us, we go, "I changed my mind." And then we end up accepting the very thing in the beginning we reacted to or we rejected. So listen to what he says, beginning in verse 9. It says, "And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now a famine and great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers first." And listen to this in verse 13. "The second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph." So he's telling stories they're familiar with. They know their history, but they like these stories because it makes them look good. And then he goes on, verse 19, "This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God. And he was brought up to his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer a wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting, and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are my brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And then, at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not even look. And then the Lord said to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt." Now, this Moses, whom they at first rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners.
"Dear Pastor Ray, thank you and God bless you. My mom and I listen to you faithfully and have for a long time. Please accept our apology as we should have contacted you sooner. You need to know how effectively the Lord is using you as His vessel to convey His saving truth. Please stay on our station. And yes, we're sending some support."
We're so encouraged when we hear that these daily studies are blessing people. It's a vote for the program to continue here, and your support helps make that possible. It helps cover the costs of broadcasting. Would you let us hear from you today? Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, zip code 92127. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So here's what Stephen is doing. Both the stories of Joseph, which they knew very well, and Moses have this in common. Both Joseph and Moses were rejected at their first coming, and they were then both accepted and received in their second coming. Joseph was hated by his brothers, despised by his brothers. They almost wanted to kill him, and one of the brothers said, "No, we can't kill him. Let's sell him into slavery." But then, through dreams, through God's anointing, through God's sanctifying work in the heart of Joseph, he raises up, interprets dreams, gets out of jail, literally sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh, ruling the whole Gentile world. And then God sent a famine into the land of his fathers. They had no bread. And he said, "Why stare at one another? You're going to starve to death. Go to Egypt." And they said, "They'll kill us in Egypt." He goes, "So what? We're going to die of starvation here. Maybe they'll have compassion on us." And so the brothers go down and they looked at Joseph, who is dressed now like an Egyptian. It's many years later. He is speaking and barking Egyptian to them. And the whole time they do not recognize that who they think of as a Gentile, Pharaoh ruling the world of ancient Egypt, is actually their brother, whom they sold into slavery, whom they betrayed. And then the beautiful, glorious story of how finally Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. "You knuckleheads," that's in the original Hebrew. "I am your brother that you hated and that you despised and that you were jealous of and that you sold into slavery and even wanted me to die. But what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And look, I rule the whole world. Whatever you need, I will send you with camels laden with gifts and food and baskets and blankets and food and clothing and whatever you need. I'm ruling the world. I sit at the right hand of Pharaoh. Is that not the beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who rejected by his own family and brothers, but in his second coming, he will reveal himself. They don't even hardly think of him as Jewish. But of course, and in fact, he really, really is. So it's beautiful to see what God is doing here. And then Moses, in his first coming, rejected. He thought, I'll adjudicate this. Kills an Egyptian, and they're like, who made you a ruler over us? Goes out in the desert for 40 years, but then he sees an angel. He sees a burning bush, but it never goes out. And he says, well, that's weird. That's strange. I'm going to go closer and see what this burning bush is. And out of the burning bush, a voice speaks, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. And God reveals himself to Moses. And then he says, take the staff in your hand, go back to Pharaoh, and you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And I will be with you with signs and wonders. And in Moses' second coming, he comes with a staff of authority and power and the glory and the presence of Almighty God with signs and wonders that breaks the back of the Egyptian pharaohs, their magicians, and all of their sorcery and dark magic and demonology. He breaks it and reveals there is one who is El Elyon, the highest. He is higher, higher, higher than all the other principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Amen?
Amen?
So I love, you know, Stephen is preaching it. He is doing a great job, and he's setting the whole thing up for the revelation of Jesus as their Messiah that they just rejected. He's going to come back. So now, going on to verse 37. Verses 37 through 43. Now, Stephen's going to turn a little bit. He's going to stop telling the stories, and he's going to relate Israel, who repeatedly broke the law that they said they so loved. They go, hey, this Stephen guy, he's telling us we don't need to follow the law of Moses, which wasn't really true. But he says, look, if you want to talk about the law and not following it, hello, that's us, the Jewish people. So this is the story that he tells, beginning in verse 37. He goes, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected. And in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Raphan, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Wow, man, he's really zeroing in now. They accuse him, you're against the law. And Stephen's going, well, that's a fine thing for you, the religious leaders who say that they are the keepers of the law because our ancestors broke the law from the very moment it was given. No sooner had the law been given to the people than they disobeyed it by asking Aaron, make us an idol so we can bow down and worship the God we served 400 years in Egypt. We just got delivered from that. And they're already wanting, because Moses took 40 days up on the mountain walking into the cloud. And by the way, why didn't all the people go with Moses up to the cloud where God was? Let me ask you a question. If there was a mountain, if, you know, Mount Carmel, and there was a cloud, thunder, lightning, trumpets, voices. And we had Moses with us, and he said, hey, anybody that wants to go with me into that cloud at the top of that mountain, let's go talk to God, see God, let God reveal himself to us. How many of you would want to go into that cloud? But the people said, we don't want to go into the cloud where God is. We're scared. Moses, you go. We'll stay down here. So he went, and he went longer than they thought. I don't know. They thought he'd be gone a few days. He's there for 40 days, talking to God, fellowshipping with God. How many of you would love to be in a cloud where God is, heaven on earth, for 40 days? Be better than what we're living now. But then they were afraid. So he took too long. So they tell Aaron, make us a little golden calf. We'll bow down and we'll worship it. After all the 10 plagues, after all the miracles, after all of the signs and wonders, and these idols, so they started worshiping them in the desert. And the rest of the history of Israel is that they kept going back to the gods of the Canaanites or the gods of the Egyptians. And if I can summarize, these religions were obscene in their worship of sex, not with a wife and within the, you know, boundaries of a family marital relationship, but with what they called the religious prostitutes. This was part of their religion. You could have sex with strangers, with anybody, foreigners. And consequently, these little babies would be, you know, the women would conceive and have babies. And you're like, oh, I don't want to share my inheritance with that. What do we do with them? And then in the religion was, oh, those babies that came through the temple prostitutes, Molech wants you to put them on an altar of fire and melt them as a sacrifice. Can you believe it? That's what God was delivering the children of Israel from. And that's what they went back to. And God took it as long as he could. And finally he said, that's it. I've reached my limit. You're unfaithful. I'm your husband. We got married together there at Sinai. And I gave you the rules and the laws of how you could have a happy marriage and happy children and a future and land and prosper. And literally, that's going to bring heaven on earth to you. But you went back to your old ways. You like idols? You're unfaithful to me as your husband? Fine. But you're not going to love them anymore in my face here in my land. Go to Babylon, the capital of idolatry. And I will cure you of idolatry in Babylon. He sent them to Babylon for 70 years. And guess what? They got cured of that kind of idolatry after being in Babylon, used and abused for 70 years. So Stephen makes a good point. Israel repeatedly broke the law they said they loved. He literally was saying to them, you have been hypocrites. And you have pride within your hearts. It is always possible for a religious community or a religious group to tend toward, you know, an outward formality that feels good, but is not really living inside of the heart. We must remain flexible and open and soft and tender to the winds of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen on that?
Pastor Ray Bentley with important counsel today from our studies in Acts chapter 7 here on Maranatha Radio. And there's more to come in this presentation. Today's study is titled The Crown of Glory. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. There at the homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day, automatically, at no charge. And also link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it, raybentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's new books, The Cyrus Mandate, as well as the Days of Noah, both prophetic fiction novels in the Elijah Chronicles series. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Acts. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.